So we come as a double act. I'm Eddie.
I'm Diane.
You feel that now? This kind of in line with what David was saying. He was talking about the REAP project, and we've used a similar tool initiative, if you will, to look at improving our assessment and feedback situation in the Academy of Sport and Physical Activity. So this talk is about what we actually did, which I'll address, and Diane will address the point we came to make, that we set out to improve student learning through assessment and feedback using a tool, and I'll talk about the process really quickly. But the unintended consequence, if you will, perhaps the most exciting bit, was the effect it had on our academic staff, if you will. Now, this is something that I'll say 18 months ago we embarked on this, and it was coming back. My role, I'm the quality lead in our department. So August the 12th, we get this. So we sit with bated breath waiting for our NSS scores, and here they come. Now, we had 2 years ago, we had a dip in our overall satisfaction NSS. So it sparked, I was looking at what can we actually do meaningfully to improve overall satisfaction. Okay. Why I put it this way, these are this year's scores, and it's a sea of red across the sector. This isn't Hallam's problem, this isn't one institution, this is a sector's problem. The sector struggles with assessment and feedback. Ironically, the Open University do brilliantly year after year, and I don't know exactly why, but most of the higher education institutions have red in the categories. So we looked at trying to improve our position in terms of NSS and focusing on assessment feedback. Over time, the focus has actually shifted. NSS is a byproduct, if you will. We're not that bothered about it. Sorry, Alex, I shouldn't say that. But so that's the national picture. Now, the tool we used is called Testa. Then you talked about REAP, and TESTA stands for that, and the focus is on students in TESTA. Okay, and it's a methodology that has three interventions. So it starts with the idea that don't try and improve assessment and feedback on a module level. Don't try and atomize approaches, so let's go after 3 week turnaround. Because you're kind of doing this, you plug in one thing and then another dam opens and water leaks somewhere else, and you're constantly doing that. So this is saying, let's not chase, let's not respond to student dissatisfaction in an atomized way, do it holistically. So TESTA has a threefold methodology. It starts with an audit of course assessment. So it looks at the number of summative assessments you've got, how much formative you're doing, the types, the variety, how much feedback you give the students, how much oral, written. It has a set methodology, and they use that to diagnose what's going on at a course level. Then it has two student interventions. They have what's called the AEQ, so there's a real quick 10-minute student questionnaire. And to triangulate it, you're meant to do focus groups. And we did first two early on, and later on we did the focus groups, which actually a benefit to see actually where we're making any progress. But it's a methodology that's open to anyone. It's a nationally funded program that anyone can access the resources. It gave us some findings, and these are some of the things that we found were happening on our courses. Possibly the biggest thing we found in sport was the lack of formative assessment. Now, contentious, and Diane's doing a workshop later. What people actually understood by formative assessment is like that. The understanding is very, very different. TESTA give a very tight definition of formative assessment. They say formative assessment is required. Can you make it mandatory, required? Don't know. It's required. Okay, they say formative is planned, it's scheduled, and it elicits feedback but no marks. And that's the key, feedback with no marks. The idea is if you attach marks to any type of assessment, it takes the focus, puts the focus solely on the mark, and the feedback gets ignored, if you will. So we use a really tight definition of formative feedback, which they gave us, and we found in the Academy of Sport and Physical Activity, there was an absence of true formative assessment. There are other things that we also found. One of them came in the way we designed things. Our modules typically had two assessments on each module, and that promoted students to be strategic in their learning. And they typically told us in the questionnaire that they only do any work, they do nothing else unless it's assignment time. But we created that by the way we set it up. Anyhow, the offer, I guess, to people, you guys, is as academics, is we've been through an experience that if other departments, other course teams want to go through, we can certainly help. We don't have time to go through exactly what we did. So the spin, yes, I'm coming off now. The spin was we started looking at transforming student experience. The unintended consequence was what actually happened to the experience of our staff going through this process, which Diane will take over.
Thank you. Which was up and down or sideways?
No.
Yeah, this is the bit I think that is the key focus of this session, was what happened to the staff. There's still a long way to go, don't get me wrong, we haven't got it perfect, we haven't necessarily got it completely right, but we are moving significantly. So firstly, staff found there was a reduction in workload in terms of time spent setting and marking assessments. If you're using formative assessment properly, so that as you go through the module you are gaining an understanding of student learning, then what you assess at the end builds up in that bigger picture, so it takes less time, so the workload reduction. Assessment literacy, this was one of the really big ones. There's a greater understanding of the role of assessment in students' learning, so how assessment can be used not just to capture learning, but also to promote learning. And as Daly has mentioned, the workshop I'm doing this afternoon, I'm really not doing a plug for it, but that is very much around assessment for learning in your everyday practice. So when we talked about formative assessment, we had this common understanding, and that's where the common language came in. So in an academy where staff very rarely talked about their practice previously, you'd hear people in the kitchen having a cup of coffee mentioning phrases like formative assessment. Now those conversations were just coffee conversations, but we got this common language that people understood and that we were all, if you like, kind of trying to talk about the same thing. So we had a shift, significant shift, from assessment of learning, i.e. summative, to assessment for learning. And there was a raised awareness of assessment practice which gave us a better understanding of the student's learning journey. It led to this cultural shift. So what we also noticed with staff is that they were willing to discuss their practice with each other, and not just with safe partners, so people that they knew really well. You know, people were having these conversations. We have several away days in the year in the academy, and people would be talking to people that they don't necessarily teach with about their assessment practice, what they did, and being willing to share it. So it was very much collegial discussions of the nature and purpose of assessment and assessment practice. It also then led to an opening of classrooms and classroom practice, in that we had a few staff, not as many as we'd like, but certainly some, who invited colleagues to just go in and watch their sessions. Not because they thought it was stunning or fantastic or anything like that, just because they were trying something out that sat within the test agenda, and so if anybody else wanted to go along, they could go along and see. And then finally, two things that were really important, as Eddie's already mentioned, it was about sharing standards, so the students knew what standards we were hoping they were going to achieve, and it was about a whole course approach. So hopefully what we're starting to see, now it doesn't mean you won't see the top one sometimes, but what we're starting to see is a shift from the transmission model, where the students are being passively having their learning done to them, to a more of a model where students are partners in their learning, so they're much more active and engaged. Now that doesn't mean, many of you, this probably the bottom picture, probably looks like your practice already, but this was about doing it across a whole academy and trying to move perhaps some of the people that were perhaps more resistant to it. Okay, so the road ahead, this is where we're at. We need to find time and space to continue with it. We need to look at staff development plans. We need to bring students into the conversation, although this work has now started. Clearly we need to invest in the learning resources, and we need to maintain the Academy's commitment to the strategy. That's it. So any questions for either me or Eddie?
It's not as exciting as a spreadsheet.
Is it about lunch? Shall I sit down? Yeah.
So overall it was through sort of changing assessment and changing the staff's practice linked to change the experience for students. So overall, what were the major changes that actually happened?
I mean, the starting point actually was to look at the student learning experience. So it's about changing the student experience. What we actually did is we had an away day in January where we actually brought along a very inspirational speaker. So many of you will already have heard, I'm sure, Graham Gibbs, that came to speak to the LTA conference in the summer previous to the university one. Eddie luckily heard him. We invited him to come along. And what happened was that we got a room of staff. It was a January day, it was quite cold, and people were kind of thinking, and some of my colleagues are sitting in the room at the moment, possibly thinking, what on earth are we here for? You know, we've got better things to do with our time this near to Christmas. However, Graham was absolutely inspirational. It was fascinating. And I'll never forget the image at the end of the day where one of the tasks required everybody to write things up and put them up on flip charts. And the room that we were in was quite a tight room, so it meant that to go around the room to see what was on them, the staff had to move around with Graham. And it was like watching the Pied Piper, to be quite honest. The faces of the staff as he was talking about the examples of the practice that they use within various universities nationally and internationally, staff were really on board with it. So whereas previously we'd gone through quite, a very full re-approval of all our undergraduate and postgraduate courses, and we talked a lot about assessment for learning, informative and summative. My own doctorate is all around assessment for learning, so it's something I'm passionate about. We'd still have what I call the resistors. People kind of saw where you wanted to go, but you were pushing them along behind, if that makes sense. Whereas once Graham had finished with them, they were just marching along and couldn't get enough of it. Now, that doesn't mean that's everybody. I'll be very, very honest about that. But that huge change could be seen there. So to continue with that motivation they've been put in place, we then went through the models that Eddie talked about. So in terms of the actual changes, Eddie, do you want to pick up?
What I would say to add to that is, let's not beat around the bush. Assessment matters to students. Now, I looked at our NSS scores that we've just got in. And what was brilliant is we're only 18 months in this. This thing will take a while to get the results you're looking for to improve student learning. Now, where we've got courses that got it right and their numbers have gone up in the assessment categories, right? But where you get it wrong, students will punish you. Okay? So if you've got a module, course is really working well and they're dissatisfied with the marking, the way the feedback was given, right? They have a way of punishing the NSS. So we recognise that assessment is integral to the student experience. Now, the principles that David talked about are basically the principles that this whole intervention is based on. But it's getting your whole course team working on their principles. You see what I mean? Rather than have one module leader doing everything brilliantly, and that one doing it rubbish, because that doesn't improve you. So you're doing the intervention across the piece.
Then students start seeing one really good course, and then they're sort of reflecting on their own, being a bit like, why is it mine the same as everyone else?
And it only takes one module to get it wrong.
I mean, I would say in terms of the biggest changes was the common language and the cultural shift.
Yeah.
So that, okay, we've still got a long way to go. We've actually expanded as an academy, so we've got quite a lot of new staff who haven't been part of this project just because of the timing when they started. Mm-hmm. But what we've noted is courses are prepared to sit down and actually discuss assessment as a whole course. So what will the whole course approach be? You know, who's doing a presentation? How many presentations should we have? And how do we distribute assessment so that the student experience of assessment is engaging and helps to promote their learning? So it's like Eddie said, it's not about the individual maverick module leader, whether they're very good or very poor. It's about getting the whole course to move up.
I'll add a powerful example that tested the influence. So we've got 80 plus staff at that time. They gave us a level 4 essay, and each course went off into their team, and the task was to mark the essay individually, put your mark into a hat, don't change your mark, based on the criteria that you decide. So each course decided, this is how we're going to mark this thing, and they marked it. Throughout the academy, the range of marks on this same piece of work went from 35 to 85. There was a variation. And I sat there and watched. It was, yeah. And I watched people, because one lecturer thought, no, I'm looking at this, this. Someone's looking at something different. Now, you're not going to achieve consistency across, but what we now have is you have the conversation. So you've got a shared understanding what you're looking for. And I think that's a thing that any course team can do. Try it. Have a piece of work that everyone can mark and sit and mark it. And you'll see we're dealing with something difficult to achieve, because we all come at things differently. We all view the criteria differently. Sorry.
That's a really interesting idea. So the things that you changed, was it mostly formative assessment, or did you change the summative assessment as well?
Right. What we changed had to be phased in a process. So the initial thing we thought, let's do the easy things first. So for example, the first thing we asked people to do was ensure that you've got, first thing we did, one of the things, make sure you have twice annually course team meetings where you discuss assessment only. But not discussing the processes, 3-week turnaround or moderation or that, discuss standards, right? The academic standards of what you're doing, what everybody's doing for their assessment, discuss how you're grading it, the feedback that's in. So we put that in. Make sure, the second one was, nobody gives a feedback criteria out, and we're good at that, put the criteria up, but you don't work with the students about the criteria. So you work with the criteria in class. Okay, so it's get away from the practice. Criteria's up on Blackboard, and that's it. You've got to do something active with them in there. So we had a series of just easy things we wanted people to do. Now the hard ones we've done later. So what we've done as an academy is we've reduced the number of summative assessments across the piece. So for example, we had 3 courses had the maximum 36 assessment points over 3 years. Those programs now down to about 18 to 19. And that took minor mods and all of that, right? So there's a number of things, and we can send you all the actual things we did.
But I think the issue was to move to confidence in staff, that they, often we found that summative assessment was there because staff felt that gave them the confidence to know that the students knew. So by helping them to understand about the role of assessment for learning, formative assessment, and also how assessments can be designed, summative assessments can be designed in such a way that they capture the learning for all of the learning outcomes, then staff felt more confident that they didn't necessarily have to add marks for every piece of assessment that they did. So we were then able to, as Eddie said, reduce down the number of assessments. Now again, remember, this is in the context that we had literally, as we did this in the January, starting in January, the October and November previously was the last ones of our undergraduate and postgraduate courses going through reapproval, where assessment and reducing assessments had been a big university agenda, and yet we'd still made so little progress. Whereas, you know, a year later, 18 months later, through the tester project, people could really understand now you weren't just making them reduce assessments because the university were telling you to, although that driver was there, but also how assessment practice and student learning and capturing student learning could still be achieved even with that reduced number of assessments.
Here's a question for you.
So it's both, really.
Do you know what
question.
Assessment on your course, do you know all the assessments across every module?
To be honest, no, but I've only been here 2 weeks.
We'll let you off.
Why did I pick you? Which is why I asked David about modularisation, because you get a module, you get handed it, and it's mine. Don't know what the other guy's doing, or what's going on across the level, or up the levels. You do yours, if you will. So what we've done is now, it's course focus. How many assessments do we do? What types? Do they link across? Do they link up? And that's the whole change process. It takes a while, but you will know what everyone else is.
And I think in fairness, we can't escape our context, because those of you that have been here a little longer than the 2 weeks will know that a lot of these agendas the university has been working towards particularly over the last 4 to 5 years as it moved through its teaching and learning strategy. So in a sense, I suppose it was a little bit of a perfect storm in that, you know, we had to achieve it anyway, but what Tester did was give us a way of being able to achieve it and for the staff to really engage with it, as opposed to the university tells us we've got to do it, which is a much more negative approach. So we must be out of time, Laurel, I think.
Okay. Well,
not really. Our session isn't
until 1:45, but we've only got 3 10-minute videos in it. So
any other questions?
So if there are any more questions, we have the time. Otherwise, we can go in.
Just go in.
Okay.